Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we come to grips with the end of another Green Bay Packers successful season. And look ahead to an offseason that features the NFL draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Packers defense.
We got the bad. We got
Jordan Love.
We got the ugly. We got
those injuries. Those damn injuries, Banky. Ugly way to go out. It's bad enough you got to lose the game, but to watch all those dudes go down in the process, it's ugly stuff. Corey Banky, yep. Welcome to the final Packer transplants for the 2024 Green Bay Packers season. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
That's
kind of cold outside. It's kind of cold in Green Bay. It's kind of wavered between, like, yeah, Monday it was like 7 degrees, and then yesterday it was like 30, and then today it's like 12, I think. I don't know.
It's quite a switch.
So, yeah, you know.
I haven't been quite that here in New York, but it's we've definitely hit the moment of the January time where, yeah, it's cold. There's no doubt going outside. It's a cold one. But the warmth of the off season is here to take us as we try to look back here on this Packers season, Corey, as only we can, and talk about things that went right, things that went wrong. Clearly, the game in Philadelphia. If we're being honest, Corey, and I'd love to get your take on this, but how much did just everything, as far as we talked a lot last week about, well, if they play a clean game and, you know, there's every chance that you just get in the dance and anything can happen. Was it like the fumble by Keyshawn Nixon immediately out the gate? Did like everything come flooding back as far as all the things that had gone wrong this season? And oh, yeah, that's right. That's the team we've been watching all of 2024.
Somewhat. I mean, I did write that, you know, in hindsight, the NFL hates the Packers.
Well, that was your takeaway. That's your takeaway.
The NFL hates the Packers, people.
Hates the Packers.
Yeah, because, like, he didn't really he fumbled. He fumbled. But he regained possession, clearly. So,
was it clear, though? I've gone back and watched this, and yes, he's there, and the ball is, like, kind
his hands
of bobbles,
it.
And then he's got it, and then his hands have it, and then he can't.
There are two clear angles where his hands have it.
Right.
Very clear. Very clear.
So the NFL hates
what?
The Packers.
You know
that's
who,
your
you know who you sound. You know who you sound like. You know who you sounded like for a hot second there.
You're not who's like that? This. Who's that?
You're gonna sound like someone talking about the Fail Mary that I don't want to mention their name because to me it's like talking about Voldemort. Okay. It's like 99,000 people saw that the Packers got the ball, except for the ref and Voldemort.
Okay.
I mean Bob McGinn. I mean Voldemort.
All right. Very good. Very good.
The NFL hates the Packers, people. Let's just be real. Okay.
That's one takeaway. I don't think the NFL hates the Packers. I think the NFL is incompetent, and that's a difference, right? What's that old saying? Never prescribe, you know, malice where you know it's you know. Probably incompetence.
You know what's funny is, you know what's funny is that's the same. I saw this thing Daniel Tosh on his podcast about conspiracy theories. Right, it's
right.
The kind of same idea. Right, it's like
right.
We think there's all these conspiracy ideas, but like
it's
three can
people
keep
don't
a
know
secret
what the hell
when
doing.
Two are dead. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of incompetent right. people, and no one can keep a secret. So there's no way these conspiracies are happening because it would take way too much to
exactly.
for a thing.
Yeah. I just think it's incompetence. But hey. Or the NFL hates the Packers. Either one of those are possible. No question about it. Disappointing end of
the
season.
For sure.
Disappointing end of the season. No question about it. We've got some news to get to. There's always something to talk about when it comes to the green and gold. And this week is no different as we wrap up the 2024 season after Matt LaFleur's season-ending press conference on Tuesday morning. The one real headline out of which we got Tom Clements. Is retiring. Longtime Packers quarterbacks coach. Coached, yes, as we all know, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. Retired for a bit. Came back to coach Aaron Rodgers again and coach Jordan Love. The man is an absolute Packers legend and should walk into the Packers Hall of Fame at some point. I don't know when that point will be, but clearly Packers fans owe him a monster debt of gratitude because he has done yeoman's work with three really good quarterbacks at this point. The other news coming out Sunday's.
You know what kind of reminds me? I was in the man, this is going to age the hell out of me. But I was in okay. So Tom Clemens had left and he came back for Rodgers, right? Or he was there.
No, he was there right at the tail end of Favre. He helped Favre's resurgence.
Right, he was at the tail end.
McCarthy.
Right. Well, it was funny.
And he was there to build Rodgers, essentially.
Yeah, so Rodgers, I think this is year three of Rodgers. So, like, I just remember I hadn't done the webcast for New Year's Eve. So I think this was around, like, 2008, 2007 or 2008, maybe 2008.
Well, seven's Favre, eight's Rodgers first year.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's eight into nine or maybe nine into 10-ish. Yeah, because that's before the Super Bowl. So he's doing well. He's starting to do really well. And I remember a friend of Tom Clemens comes into our New Year's Eve trailer, and I didn't really know who Tom Clemens was. Like, I was like, yeah, I don't go that deep. You know what I'm saying? And and so they were like, you know who the main reason why the Aaron Rodgers is so good, don't you? And I was like, looked at him, and I'm a lot younger than I am today. And I was like, Ted Thompson? and he was like right. No, Tom Clemens, he's the number one coach over there. And I was like, oh, cool. And that was the first time I ever even knew who Tom Clemens was. So
there you go, finding out in a broadcast truck, as some people do. It's how some people live their lives.
Sitting,
Corey,
in the middle of 42nd and Broadway, learning things every day. You know what I'm saying?
Love it. Absolutely love it. Yes, Tom Clemens, absolute Packers legend, no question about it. And hey, shout out to Tom. I'm hoping he gets to watch Notre Dame win the championship on Monday. He's a former Golden Domer himself, a quarterback. I know he'll be rooting for him. Some unfortunate news coming out of that game, Corey, of course, on Sunday are the injuries that we just talked about, in the good, bad, and the ugly, starting with Romeo Doubs suffering another concussion so fast upon having just gotten cleared from concussion protocol. To see him wearing that Guardian cap and have his head hit the ground, and really, almost instantly, you could tell there's something up, and woozily being helped back to the locker room. You never want to guess, right? Like, who knows? Everybody's brain is different. Every head injury is different. But, man, you really worry for Doubs at this point. I think it's just human nature to look at that injury in that game coming so hard upon another concussion and think, all right, let's hope for the best, and let's hope Doubs has the support he needs to make whatever decision is right for him as a player and as obviously a person. Because, man, I just keep thinking back to the Sam Shields interview that came out, I think, like a year or two ago, where he really regretted continuing to play after suffering a couple of concussions and then, you know, really dealing with some major repercussions later on after his playing days. I'm not saying, and again, I don't know. We don't have the medical information. They know more than we do always, but that's just scary stuff. I just hope Doubs gets all the support he needs and can, you know, get back to playing, because I love him on the field for the Packers, if that's his call. And obviously it is his call.
Yep.
A few other injury notes. Josh Myers seems to have escaped serious injury. I mean, I felt horrible for Josh watching the end of that game play out. Essentially 3 minutes away from hitting free agency, and he gets leg whipped by friendly fire and carted off. Sure looked like he had a major serious broken leg injury. And by all reports and Josh's own words in the locker room cleanout session, sounds like he escaped major injury, a bit of a hairline fracture, but he should be good to go and be ready for whichever team he ends up on next year, the Packers or someone else. And that is great news, because you hate the timing on that one. And the other injury note is Christian Watson, his father, Tazeem, who's been here on Cheesehead TV throughout last offseason on our podcasts, etc. He tweeted out that Christian is having surgery soon, hasn't had it yet, but if things are clean and the timeline is good, you should hopefully expect Christian to be back in the fold, so to speak, on the field by around week 12. Now, that's undoubtedly a moving target as far as his availability next season. We all know every player is different. Guys come back differently. Sometimes there are complications. Sometimes guys can come back early, right? But hopefully, the kind of circling the date of week 12 of the 2025 season, Christian should be back out there for, let's hope, what is a stretch run down the back end of the 2025 season for the Packers.
That feels so far away.
Yeah, so far away. Right?
I'm going to be honest with you. Tazeem is definitely the best ex-follow of 2024. Twitter follower. Follow.
I think you're definitely onto something there. I mean, I love how he doesn't suffer fools.
Nope.
And he tells it like it is. And he has a breadth of knowledge of not just the game of football, but how the league works. And he just is unvarnished and unafraid to speak on all of it. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think he's a phenomenal follow. No doubt about it. Other news coming out of the weekend, Corey, or actually coming out of Monday night since the result of the wild card game between the Rams and the Vikings. The Packers have the 23rd pick in April's NFL draft. So
just where Goody does his most damage. Just kidding. Oh, dear.
Hey, the Packers had a 23rd pick, they picked Brian Bulaga, Iowa, and went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but anytime we pick in the 20s, we just, besides Bulaga, that's a long time ago we picked Brian.
It was a long time ago, and yes, the 20s have been where the Packers have resided during
era. We suck in the first round. We just suck. Nobody can pick in the first round. Like, when's the last good first round pick we had?
Jordan Love.
Seriously.
Jordan Love's a good first round pick.
Jordan Love, okay. After that, Aaron Rodgers. So, good job.
No. Jair was a good pick.
If you say A.J. Hawk, I'm going to kill you.
Jair
was not a good pick.
Jair
If you can't make your third contract, you're not a good pick.
Okay, relax. Now you're just I literally just watched you pull that out of your ass live on the air. That's impressive.
I'm good at that. I'm really good at that. usually I'm better at hiding that I did it, but
yes.
You know, I'm
you
off
said
my
second
game
and
right
then
now.
Changed to third like that when you realized he had his second contract. finally, Corey, I just love that I'm getting to talk to you, brother, on the 58th anniversary today of Super Bowl I of the Green Bay Packers. Beating up on those Chiefs and winning the very first ever Super Bowl. Shout out Max McGee. Probably should have shared the MVP award with Bart Starr, playing with a hangover, putting up monster numbers in a game that he didn't expect he'd be playing in. So he was out all night, got back into the hotel at like 6:30 a.m. with a raging hangover. God bless him. What a legend. That's how I would have been as a football player, Corey. I would have been that guy.
You would have been an unsuccessful football player.
Except for on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, okay.
When I had to go in because Boyd Dollar got hurt and I had to go produce for my team. That's it. If you ever get the chance, there's on my Twitter feed today, I retweeted Kevin Gallagher, who chronicles a lot of NFL history, and he had a great pull from NFL Films about that story, essentially, like Max McGee being a total legend for that game. And Bart Starr talking about going down in the lobby of the hotel where they were staying. The night before, Lombardi had like read them the riot act and said, like, I will not only triple the fines, but if you break curfew tonight, you will never play in a league game ever again. I'll see to that. And Bart Starr goes down the next morning at like 6:30 a.m. to get the paper. And there is literally Max McGee walking into the hotel after being out all night. And Bart was like, oh, God, here we go. I love it. Just such good stuff. Absolutely love it. But let's get back to the modern era and talk about this Packers offense, Corey, and talk about the fact that Jordan Love, he ended on a down note. And I know this was, a hot topic on the Cheesehead TV happy hour last night. And I thought a bunch of really good points were made. And I will say this before, I know you probably have some thoughts on this, Corey, but I understand people being disappointed with Jordan's performance this year. I understand people who say, oh, he's still the man. You know, like he's only going to get better, etc. I think there's lots of valid opinions. Where I have a problem is like I've seen way too much, oh, Jordan's mid or Jordan sucks or he's bad. It's like he's none of those things. I understand that there's the internet culture and we all have hot takes. And, man, people who I saw praising Jordan Love last year who are now suddenly like, oh, he's not the answer. He's not. They got to look. Like, can we let the young man play and grow and develop? Which, by the way, improvement, development, it's rarely, if ever, linear in the NFL or in the game of football. Like, yes, there are certainly issues with his game that he needs to work on. And that will undoubtedly be a focal point throughout the offseason, both with his quarterback guru out there in California and when he returns to Green Bay for the offseason program. But people saying suddenly he sucks or he's mid, you don't know ball. Just stop talking, or at least stop tweeting me, because that's absurd and ridiculous.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I mean, his last three games were not great. Not to make excuses for him. We talked about this last night, but, you know, he had two of his linemen. He had his best linemen go out.
And then he had Elton Jenkins go down, and he had Zach Tom play his worst game of the year.
Yep, no two doubt. Of his linemen, one of his newish linemen come in, gets him in a hole, then gets him in a second hole, then he gets replaced, then there's a guy in there, and then, you know, his worst interception, I think, where you're like, what the hell is going on? Which most interceptions where you're like, what the hell was the quarterback doing?
Right.
Somebody exactly. ran the wrong route or did something wrong on a rhythm play, or, you know, that just was like a timing play, and it is what it is, and you can't. You know,
the
it's
one
like sending
to Zach
missiles
Bond
out.
Is the one that, yeah, that's really, really off kilter.
Yeah, right, and now. He was supposed to, coach even said he was supposed to run 15 in turn, and he ran 20 in turn, and guess what? The linebacker's inside, and hi, we've got an interception.
And Tucker Kraft slips coming out and doesn't do what he's supposed to do, so it doesn't create exactly the whole kind of puzzle piece of the routes, the route combinations. And so Zach Bond is just drifting into space where that ball is going. Like, there are a lot of different things, and that's why I said I give accident forgiveness for two out of those three interceptions. Like, the one that I think is problematic is the one to Wicks up the right sideline, although Slay does a phenomenal job of not only making a play
on
the ball.
Yeah, he needs to throw it outside instead of
outside,
throwing it
in,
he
a
gets
little bit
inside.
Further, etc.
Yeah.
No, need a better throw there, no question about it. I don't hate the
ultimately though, if you look at
people
his
talking
stats,
about like, oh, Jacobs was open, and that's fine, but like, he had a matchup that he liked, and again, Wicks wins on that route. Now, he should have stacked him, could do a better job, but he's still a step ahead. Like, I don't mind that decision, and I don't mind taking that shot, but you need a better throw if you're going to do it.
Statistically, he had a similar season to last year, so he had the same amount of interceptions. He had a little bit less in touchdowns, a little bit less in yards. But
and he played fewer games.
Right?
You got to throw that
played
into the mix.
Two
right?
less games.
Two
so
fewer games, right.
That matters. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't know how you can look at Jordan. I don't know how you can make that conclusion unless, you know, you've just had it in your head this whole time that he's never going to be good. I don't know objectively if how you can look at his play at every game this season, not just one
right.
or the last or
just
down
one
the
of
stretch.
Them, right.
Kind of
right.
the same way. I don't know if some people saw. I'm not a huge Dan Orlovsky fan, but there's this whole Dan Orlovsky, Stephen A. Smith back and
that.
Forth after the Vikings game, where everybody wants to throw Sam Darnold under the bus, and you know Dan Orlovsky, quarterback, former quarterback. Mm-hmm. Say what you will about him, but he's like, yeah, Sam Darnold was the fourth reason that the Vikings lost, right?
Right?
And you know, yeah, we did have a lot of drops historically this season, or we were
led
high
the league
up,
in drops.
Led the,
league, led
in
the
drops.
League in drops.
I think
no
at
doubt.
One point we had 53% in some games where that's bad. Like you can't.
It's
you
not
can't,
good.
You're gonna die. You're gonna die by that, right?
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I think the most. Yeah, I think the as any quarterback, the number one thing is your offensive line and your coach helping you out by not having you drop back and wait forever to get sacked. And I do think that there were times in these games where we get a little bit down, not by two scores, but by one, and we ask him to do things that I just don't think we should have been in a position to ask our offense to do. So I think there's a
very
lot of that.
Agreed.
And you know, I think Jordan Love is exciting. I think the main thing I think people I think there's something in the fact that how we beat Dallas last year in the playoffs was just so
right.
exciting. It was just amazing.
Yep.
And I don't think anybody saw that kind of, now in the middle of the stretch you saw those kind of games, but the knock against that was they weren't quote unquote good teams, right?
Right.
Which
right.
you know, you want to talk about good teams. The Rams just spanked the hell out of the Minnesota Vikings. So, right. And I think a lot of people were like, oh, the Rams aren't that good. And it's like, bro, like any given Sunday, I think you're seeing
you
that.
Never know,
and also,
baby,
I do want to say this one thing that's going around the internet right now. PFF's doing it. All these nerds are talking about, like, oh, we need to get rid of the seventh round in the playoffs because,
the seventh,
you know,
seed,
it's
just, you mean? Right.
Seventh seed because it's Green Bay and la la la, and I'm like, shut up.
I don't mind the seventh
seed. It's
like
Mike Reddle,
I mean,
or Mike,
a lot,
whatever
but they're
his
not supposed
name
to win
from PFF,
a lot. If they're not,
and Nick Wright,
you know,
said it. Like, nobody's right. won except for the Green Bay Packers against the Dallas Cowboys, and it's like, well, did you like that game? Because it was
yeah, was that
nice.
A fun game? I had a good time. I mean, Nick Wright got embarrassed because he thought the Cowboys were going to blow out the Packers.
Well, Nick Wright's one of the people calling for it to be. But I'm like, guys, do you understand the economic impact of the extra game? Like, are you even thinking about this for 2 seconds?
Forget economic impact. It's more football. I'm fine with more football. Like, I got no problem with the seventh seed, but. You know, I get people are going to dismiss it or kind of belittle it or try to minimize it because it feels like, quote unquote, extra. Because we had for so long only had six seeds and now there's a seventh added, blah, blah, blah. So I don't, you know, when it comes to getting back to the Jordan Love thing, I know people are frustrated with how he played down the stretch. I don't think anyone is probably more frustrated than Jordan himself. Although I do love this new thing of like, he doesn't show fire. He doesn't show passion, which of course was a boon and a good thing when they were winning and he was throwing all these touchdowns and things were great. And people were like, how he's unflustered. He's like unflappable. So then it was good. But when things are bad, now all of a sudden he's not fiery enough.
Stupid.
He's not a leader.
The only people, honestly, the only people saying that have either never don't know anything about life and are probably in their like young 20s, right?
Right.
Because I'm telling you right now, and I've said this to a
lot
of people.
Or they're old men, because there are some old men saying this shit.
Well, if they're old men, then they basically don't know shit about life. Because every single person I've ever met in my life who takes the lows not so low and the highs not so high and lives right in that cold as ice place and can do that when shit's on the line, that's a really hard skill to develop. And
I was going
to
say, that's a rare breed. That's a rare breed. No doubt about it.
The most successful people I've ever met in my life have that, and they have that ability. I do not have that. I'm very emotional.
I don't either. That's my thing. I'm very emotionally driven after every result, good or bad. I will say the other thing I wanted to touch on with Jordan is his final availability where he talked about the knee somewhat still bothering him, right? And I don't think anyone needs to be a doctor or a wizard to figure out, looking throughout the entirety of the season from that first game in Brazil where the injury occurs throughout his what I would classify as an early return against Minnesota and then suffering the groin injury down in Jacksonville and how all of that kind of played out throughout the season as, all right, yes, he probably can't move as well as he wants to. He's probably favoring the knee still, even though it's, quote, okay and good and whatever. I can't look at the tape from this, the entirety of this season, and come away with anything other than one, Jordan, yeah, he's not stepping into as much as he used to towards the end of last year, probably because the knee's bothering him a little bit. And two, I know Matt would probably never admit this, but you talk about all of the shotgun they ran, so much stuff out of the gun and the pistol, etc. Well, we're just doing really well, and Josh Jacobs is killing it, and yeah, that's all true, but I got to think some of that is driven by Jordan still dealing with a knee. Like, I'll go to my grave thinking that. I'll never get confirmation, but I'll always think that.
You can also see it in the play calling, though, and it's not just that he's calling for Malik Willis, right? But you put Malik Willis in, and I know he's a running quarterback. I get that. But go back and watch Aaron Rodgers at any point in his career, and there are quarterback design draw run plays where it's see the hot read, and if the hot read's not there, run. Just go. And you could even see some of that last year, and we weren't calling those kind of plays this year. And other teams call those kind of plays that have a less mobile quarterback than Jordan Love. So there's a lot of little flags like that that you kind of see where we're not calling those kind of things, and there's got to be a reason for that.
And it's funny, too, because, like, I just – the whole Love thing is so predicated on priors, right? Like, people got to be proven right. and it's the internet, and I understand it. I'm rooting for the young man to succeed. Like, I'm really hoping he's the next long-term quarterback in Green Bay. He certainly signed on to be. Like, the Packers handed him that contract. I don't doubt for a moment that next year is a monster year for Jordan Love in the eyes of not only the public, but the Packers themselves. You know, they made the investment. They're the ones who, you know, basically put it down there and said, no, we're not going to deal with the franchise tag. We're going to commit to this kid. So he has got to do the work and improve, not only through the offseason, but into next year, throughout the entirety of the season. A lot of that is obviously on him, but it's also on Matt, because this is a big time moment as far as where the team is in its development. You and I have talked a lot this season on this show about perspective, right? Like the turn from Aaron Rodgers, the ripping of the Band-Aid, going so young, two years in a row now as the youngest team in the league to make the playoffs. That's all well and good, but now it is time to take that next step, right? And Jordan is the kind of flag bearer there. He has to take the next step along with and or for this team to take that next step, to go from, and I thought this was interesting from Matt yesterday at the podium, talking about how this quarter, like Jordan needs to be, or he hopes Jordan will try to be a little more vocal as a leader, you know? And I don't think that means you need to be fiery. I don't think that means you need to be angry or yelling, but just to come out and say what is up with not only you, the offense, what's wrong, what's right, but just to hold guys accountable and be a little bit more in front of it, you know? And I think Matt's taken on all of that burden and all of that kind of job, so to speak, since Aaron's been out the door, right? And Jordan, first time starter last year, second year as a starter this, just kind of easing into that role. Well, I think that's Matt saying, okay, now this is your time. Like, you are now going to be, you've got this contract, you're our starter for the long term. It's, you're the face of the franchise. Like, you're going to be the most important part of this going forward, as opposed to this year where it was pretty clear Josh Jacobs was the most important part of this offensively, right? I think that's clear.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what that manifestation means for Jordan in his maturity, but yeah, I mean,
I don't either.
Third year,
right?
Third year for everybody, for a lot of people, not for everyone, but for a ton of players on this team, the third year is the year to shine for sure. Shine or get off the boat.
Hey, speaking of Josh Jacobs, I want to give him his due because, as we did a couple weeks ago, I totally skipped over the hotness because I'm so excited to talk to you, Corey. I'm so excited to talk Packers, but I do want to get to the hotness. So if we could, folks, in the control room there, let's roll the hotness because we got to look at this. Time for the hotness. I mean, we're still in the offense, so it makes sense. Let's talk about Josh Jacobs. Dragon fools. Totally owning the Eagles on this play. First of all, poor Josh Myers misses that reach block. But it doesn't matter, because look at this. Oh, my God. That's my favorite part. Do you know what my favorite part is, Corey? You know what my favorite part of that whole run is?
People.
Dragging is great, but no, you were going to watch it on the replay. When he puts Cooper DeJean on his ass, this is Brian Gutekunst going, I didn't want to draft you! And then, like, he goes on the ground.
That's funny.
So good. That is such an angry run. That is such a I'm so frustrated kind of run. I love that run. It's so good.
You know what we shouldn't show is the same play, but Carrington Valentine getting manhandled.
We won't
I feel like
show
Carrington,
that.
I feel like Carrington Valentine is going to have that play on loop in like his Vision Pro goggles while he's working out.
We'll get to that when we talk to the defense. You'll see it in the bullet point there. It says
it just reminded
learned.
Me of it. It just
There's
reminded
a
me
in that
when
play.
I saw that.
I feel
it
you.
Reminded
I feel
me because I was like, oh yeah, remember that? Oh, and remember that? Yeah, I remember.
I feel you. Corey. Can I just tell you something? Talking about offense, it is time to evolve on first down. You know how we have a shirt that says run the fucking ball? I have wanted Matt LaFleur to commit to the run for the longest time, and he finally did. But that doesn't mean you have to be Cro-Magnon about it. It doesn't mean you need to, like, Marty Schottenheimer this thing and run on an insane amount of your first downs. Look at this chart.
Why?
This is look at this chart.
I
look
like
at the
this.
Packers
I'm
there.
I like this chart.
That's the pass rate on first down from
like
weeks
it.
1 to 18. And it doesn't
like
change
it.
Much. Your probably initial reaction is, well, what about the Malik Willis games? Like, no.
I like it.
It doesn't change exponentially.
Like it.
Corey,
like
I'm
it.
Fine with it if you're marrying like successful play action and generating big plays in the passing game through it. But the Packers never did that. Like Bill Walsh said, the best down to throw the football on is first down. I understand wanting to run the ball. I understand running to set up whatever you're doing with Josh Jacobs to get yourself,
yeah.
quote-unquote, ahead of the sticks. But that was too much. This year, it was too much, especially since it didn't produce anything for your quarterback. The whole point of running the football in 2025, the year of our Lord, NFL-wise, is to help your quarterback. Like, there's no doubt that the way they ran the ball this year should have helped Jordan Love way more than it did.
I hear you, but I don't know that I agree with that. The whole reason you run the football for the Green Bay Packers is to score a touchdown, because if you literally run the ball 9 times, you'll score a touchdown. Because, like, if you look at any drive we had, if you can run Jacobs 7 times in a drive, the likelihood of scoring a touchdown is very high.
Well, you got to pick up first downs to extend a drive so you can hand it to Jacobs.
Well, that's the thing. So, but like literally the best drives the Packers had, they only actually threw the ball 2 or 3 times in the drive.
Just would have liked to see a few more of those on first down.
Out of like 9.
That's just me.
Out of like 9, by the way. I think the interesting thing about this team is that they definitely found their identity as a run offense.
No doubt.
In a way that he was able to get the offensive line to buy into that with the hope
right.
that they could pass block. They never found a way to pass block, ever. If you had a good rushing attack, there was no fucking chance in hell the Packers were going to block some pass rushing. It just wasn't going to happen this season. That's the number one weakness of the Green Bay Packers, which is weird. It's really weird that I'm saying that the Green Bay Packers offensive line could not fucking block pass rushes to save their life. But it was kind of true.
I don't know if I agree with you there. I hear what you're saying, and certainly down the stretch. That's the thing. Like, you look at the last month, especially the last 3 games, early in those games, the Packers struggled mightily.
Or any game where they were down more than 2 scores, yeah.
It was problematic.
And that's the
no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But to me, and how do you help that? Well, throw it on first down and pick up some easy yardage. We get your quarterback in a rhythm. That's
how do you
me.
Help that? Maybe have your offensive line coach not become your offensive coordinator, and then you know, like
shout
as
out
soon
Steno
as
getting an interview with
soon
the Bears.
As soon as Steno becomes the offensive coordinator, our fucking offensive line goes to shit. I don't think that's a coincidence.
That's not
bro.
True. That's not true. That's
this
not
is the worst. This
there's
is the
levels.
I don't
there.
Know statistically. I understand there's levels, but statistically, this is not a very good pass blocking offensive line by the Green Bay Packers historically. And
historically, you might be right there.
Historically, you might be right.
But this year, they were pretty decent actually. But I digress.
How many times did they actually, when Matt LaFleur said, you know what, guys, I want to do a 5-step drop on this play.
Okay.
Out of 100 5-step drops, I'm pretty sure like 15% were successful.
This feels like when you said Brett Favre was sacked 4 times in 1996. I feel like you're gonna go and do some research and realize that numbers might be
off. I don't need to do the research. That's what the internet is for.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Very good. Very good.
If somebody cares to dispute my stats.
Let
Here's
them
the
do
thing.
The work.
Yeah, let somebody else do the work. Also, like, the amount of misdirection and I don't really think that I'm contributing that much to the amount of fake news out there. So there you go.
That's true. That's fair. Well, because this is an entertainment program and you're giving your opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. I get that.
I just think, like, can we just rip the Band-Aid off fucking Josh Myers? Can we really do that? I know he played well this year. I know
he played
quote unquote well for him.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Correct.
But like we have not solved the problem at center, which is really the root of a lot of our offensive line problems. And offensive line was a problem this year. I'm sorry. It just was.
Yeah, more so.
Anytime we tried to pass the ball.
No doubt. I think I want to say, I think you're dealing with some recency bias because they were worse as the kind of like tail end of the season rolled on, like December.
But how many times have you
January?
Seen that? It wasn't even an injury thing until
rare.
Late, right?
It's rare.
That's rare.
I agree with that.
Like, okay, I know I'm like, okay, don't talk to me about the word regression, but I do think the offensive line of all the things that potentially regressed the season, the offensive line.
Yeah, right up there. I feel you. I think they need to play better. Of that, there's zero doubt. One last thing on the offensive side of the ball. I wanted to shout out Tucker Kraft for his comments at his locker on Monday. I'm sure most people watching or listening here have seen them. If you haven't, seek them out. And it is interesting to hear. It's a bit of a Rorschach test on the media side, because you either have people going, oh, he's alluding to a problem in the locker room, or you see it as a young player taking ownership and actually maturing right before our eyes, which is how I see it. And I just think he's becoming a leader, which is exactly what you want, because he's one of your better players, right? He's one of your best players on offense, especially with the ball in his hand. I want this. This is exactly what I want. When he talks about kind of felt it brewing, he's being honest. Like, I don't think he's telling tales out of school when he says, oh, yeah, we're going to that game. We kind of felt it brewing as far as a poor performance or an inconsistent performance, because my God, how could you not think that after the last two games? Like, I don't kill him for being truthful. We beg these guys to be honest with the media, and then when they are, it's like, oh, you see this? This is a problem. No, it's not. He's being honest, and I got no problem with that. And I love him saying that, you know, there's some guys in this locker room that need to step up and take it a little bit more serious. And I love that. That's what you want. That's called accountability in your locker room. And that's not on the coach. It's not on the staff. It's on the players. The best teams are player-led. And that, what Tucker Kraft is talking about, and Tucker Kraft is putting it out there, is a player leading. And I like that. I think it's a positive development. That's just me.
I agree. I mean, I don't know how I could disagree with that. I like it better when you set up straw mans for me to burn down. That's my favorite part of the show.
I'm sure we'll get to a few on the defensive side.
Remember you used to – now, you know what's funny? Is I feel like you gotten a little lazy. You used to be the ultimate banky baiter.
Lazy?
Yeah, because you used to be the ultimate banky baiter.
You're going to call me lazy? Really?
Yeah, and here's why. On this one issue, and this is not about this show. This isn't about this particular show, much like the Green Bay Packers season is not about one game.
Not about one game, right.
Okay, so I hear you on the day, whatever. I'm just going to put this out there, okay?
All right.
But I feel like you used to do a better job of triggering me, and now you leave it to other people. I'm just going to say that. Just a little...
Okay, you know what I'm saying? I think you might be onto something there.
You used to be like
on this show
get this
in particular.
Mine.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to put this.
That
mine
is a fair
right
point.
Here.
That's a fair point. That is a fair
that's
point.
That's all. And I'm not not lazy.
No,
but
no,
like
no,
lazy
you.
As
no,
far
no,
as
no.
like there's less of
no,
that.
No, no, I get it. I get what you're saying. I think I do a better job in game, like on watch party. I think I've done a decent job in that regard. But you are
well,
correct.
Well, yeah, I do that all the time. I just pull out the right chat. I can pull out the chat that will set you up.
I love how I like. Wanted to like shut out the chat for my mental health during games, and then Corey just like dredges up the worst fucking comments that he knows are going to trigger me and like send me into a death spiral in the middle of a game. It's awesome. I love
it. The only reason I do that though is because you used to do that to me on the show, and now it's like
correct.
Now you just let other people do it.
Well, hey, and also speaking of other people, shout out to the gentleman who called me a genius for being able to, you know, soften your, what did he call it? The feminine takes? Like, that was just the one word and that kind of output that I thought.
That
was
my
hilarious.
Favorite. Honestly, that I was like, wow, I have feminine takes. That is cool. I was like, oh,
I just didn't understand it. Like, Aaron does
like,
a good job
cool.
of beating down Corey's.
Softening. It was bad.
Something, and then he said something / feminine takes.
YouTube.
I'm like, I don't understand. I don't understand that phrasing at all. But I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I'll find it. Let's get
Let's talk about the defense. The defense played well enough to win, Corey. That's the one frustrating part. You know how we've been witness to a bunch, and I mean a ton, of playoff heartbreak in our lives as Packers fans. We've been through the ringer in the last decade plus, right? No question about it. That game on Sunday, doesn't even compete, doesn't even rise to the level of heartbreak, doesn't even rise to the level of I'm going to think about that for the rest of my life. It's just like the game we lost, and it sucks, and it hurt in the moment. But the one aspect of that game that will stick with me for a long time is that the defense played well enough to win. That's a game where if the offense gets their head out of their ass at any moment, yep, they can win that game. It just never happened.
Well, not only you want a hot take
sure
here?
Yeah, give it to me.
There's a chance. Okay, our defense, I got some stats. Our defense went from 29th
across four stats. Between 27th and 29th in the league to 7th.
Come on.
Okay.
Now,
If Goody gets his head out of his ass, well, he's good at free agency, so he doesn't need his Fred head out of his ass. So he gets two to three, right? 2 to 3 big, like, defensive line or CBs, right? Then draft, right? Halfley's got a second year. This defense could be the reason that the defense could be what we hang our hat on this season. That's kind of crazy to think about.
To be a defensive-led team in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
What?
How insane would that be? How insane would that be?
Crazy. I mean, so well, yeah, this is the take. Tuffy Socks. Tuffy Socks, if you're here or if you come later, the username's Tuffy Socks. I love how Negs always takes the shine off Corey's shit takes. He smooths things out a bit, tones it down, gets the viewers to contain their rage at his baseless, knee-jerk, emotion-driven feminine takes, and deftly lands the convo onto a soft, comfy pillow of meh. Negs is pure genius.
I don't know. The feminine part just throws me. I don't know what you're saying that has ever been like on the feminine side of a football take, but it's just funny to me.
I'm gonna be honest with you though. Like I was flattered by not by the some of it, but by the piece. And then I was like, if I'm, whatever.
It is what it is.
Everybody's got their opinions.
They do, indeed. Corey, the defensive front, it needs reinforcements. And I know everyone's going to say, they're paying Rashawn Gary, whatever they're paying him. They just drafted Lucas Van Ness, blah, blah. They re-signed Kenny Clark. I get it. I get it all. It needs reinforcements. I don't care if it's in the draft. I don't care if it's free agency. But that front needs help. I mean, you cannot watch that play where Jalen Hurts throws his first touchdown pass and has almost 7 fucking seconds in the pocket. I don't care. I know Philadelphia is the best line they're probably going to face all year. I understand they are really good, except I get it. No fucking way should you have 7 seconds in the pocket as an NFL quarterback. That is ridiculous.
We really need like a Reggie White signing. We got our Brett Favre.
Just go out and get Reggie White.
Can we just go out and get like a Reggie White? You know what I mean?
Let's clone.
Is
Reggie.
He out there?
How about that? Shouldn't the Packers have that?
Like, I don't think Max Crosby is the
right there.
But if you got like 2 Max Crosbys, I think that's beneficial. If you got a Max Crosby and who else? I don't even know.
Man, I'd love some Max Crosby. I just don't think the Packers are going to go that route. But all I know is they need reinforcements. They got to be able to get home with 4. You heard Matt yesterday talking about how, well, we thought we were going to be like this on defense, but we ended up doing all this other stuff on defense because we couldn't get home with 4. I mean, I don't think he said the words, we couldn't get home with 4, but that was the intimation. Like, we ended up doing all this simulation pressure instead, etc. Yeah, they want to be able to play 3 high, a bunch of guys underneath, mix it up sometimes 2 high, whatever, and rush 4. But every time they did rush 4, it was certainly problematic. So defensive front definitely needs reinforcements.
I mean, I do think LVN can make the jump. So, you know,
even it's put up or shut up time in 2025. Zero question there. I mean, it is put up or shut up time. No doubt. Gotta happen. And then finally, tough lessons were learned in this game on one specific play. You mentioned Carrington Valentine getting just owned, essentially, by Dallas Goedert on that touchdown, where, young man, just go low. You're never bringing that guy down up high. As soon as you see it's a tight end, just go low. Take his legs out. That's the only hope you got, because otherwise you're going to get embarrassed on national television, as you did. The other tough lesson learned there is, first of all, Halfley, love the game you called. We just talked about how the defense played well enough to win, but that zero blitz on second and short, where you present it early in the process, where
you gotta get out of
there's
it.
No
you
disguise. I mean, show it, fine, but at least have some kind of mechanism where someone on the field, I don't care who it is, your green dot or somebody, has the ability and or permission to go, oh, look at Jalen Hurts. He's making a call, undoubtedly calling an audible and getting out of whatever they were in to take advantage of the look we're in. Yeah. Okay, now we need to get out of this.
Because, that was a similar.
Corey, we were literally on watch party saying, well, they're just going to do this. And they did it.
That was very similar to how we lined up just in the way that they did it, how we lined up on that pass play at the end of the regular season. And everybody was all pissed off about that.
Yes.
The Bears game.
Yes.
Yeah. It was very similar. It's like, we can see you. You know, we can see you, right?
We can see you. Guys, that was the play call equivalent to Andrew Corliss down in Miami after he shot some dude hiding behind like a potted plant. Like, you know, we can see you, right?
Like, everyone's on the line and I only need 2 yards. So I just put this wide receiver out here.
And we're playing like 10 yards off. That's the other thing.
That's a half lead.
I'm fine on the zero call, but then compete at the line. Playing like 10 yards off. What are we doing?
Yeah. Although talk about competing at the line, to give some positive reinforcement.
Yes.
The defensive line, when it came to running and stopping short yardage when other teams needed, I'm not talking about tush pushes here.
No.
Did a fantastic job this season on fourth downs.
Totally
there were multiple fourth downs that we shut down on short yardage plays. The run defense this year is, if we can hang our hat on run defense, there are very few teams in the NFL, the entire NFL that can hang their hats on run defense. And this team showed that that can be a thing you can do, which I think is incredible.
No doubt. Very much agreed. That's a good segue. Let's take a look at this offseason stretching out before us here, Corey.
You're so surprised.
I am surprised.
The surprise in your voice that I actually transitioned.
Corey,
really?
Is this the second or third time you've ever looked at the script? At least this season. Yes, they're surprised at my voice.
Seriously.
Very much surprised. Let's look at the offseason, shall we? Let's preview the offseason, as it were.
Okay.
I do want to give a shout-out to Austin, who had a phenomenal article up at cheeseheadtv.com today. It's linked, actually, in the description of this video, talking about untouchables as far as guys who are lock solid, no doubt, going to be back next year, and then guys who are hovering around that level, and then the rest of the roster. I'm very much encouraging everyone to go and read it, because I thought he did a phenomenal job, and I don't agree with every one of his assessments, but I thought it was a really good involved piece that will make Packers fans think, which is always welcome in this age of hot takes. So make sure you check that out. Corey, much like we do each and every year in the final Packer transplants of the season, I want your takes, sir, on my video of like who I think stays or goes will come out tomorrow here on the channel. But I want your takes for the pending free agents of the Green Bay Packers heading into the offseason. Are you ready, sir?
Yeah.
All right. Starting with one, Josh Myers. Is he back or is he gone?
No. Bye.
He's gone.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Cornerback Eric Stokes.
No. Bye-bye. 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 Goodbye.
Okay. Linebacker Eric Wilson.
Maybe.
So that's a maybe? That's a no? What do you got for it?
I don't have an opinion.
Oh, no opinion. No,
I defer.
I defer
to Goody.
Defer to Goody. That's an option. Okay, I got it. Defensive tackle, TJ Slayton.
I feel like he's got some upside yet. It just depends on who we bring in, though. Because he might get pushed off the boat.
Yeah, see, I think that's a
he might get pushed
take.
Off the boat because the canoe might have no more room. So.
And he's pretty big. Your favorite they all are. Your favorite position, kicker, Brandon McManus.
Yes, but abolish kicking in the NFL.
That's a more than fair answer. Linebacker Isaiah McDuffie.
Yes, because Halfley and him have a relationship.
Look at you. You're so good. What about cornerback Corey Ballantyne?
I mean, I don't think we have a choice. Yes.
I mean, just assume it probably is.
We have no one.
Yeah, I get you. I get you. I feel.
I mean, Eric Stokes, we have no choice. Get rid of him. But everybody else, we kind of got to keep because we need bodies. So.
Yeah. I hear you. Left tackle, predominantly, though he plays both sides, Andre Dillard.
I don't know enough to know, so defer to Goody.
There you go.
Did we even see him play one game? He played in training
camp.
No, he wasn't
called into action this year. Thankfully, everyone stayed healthy at tackle.
Because Rasheed Walker was so good.
He had a decent summer. Cornerback Robert Rochelle.
I mean, yes, for the same reason we got to keep Ballantyne.
All right, that sounds good. Tight end Tyler Davis, who fought back valiantly after a season-ending injury a year ago and then came back and then promptly got a season-ending injury.
That's a no for me, Doc.
All right, I feel you. Finally,
also, Musgrave and Sims. The thing is, Sims showed enough, right?
Yeah,
to basically
no doubt.
Negate
I just hate
Tyler
that he was
Davis.
Inactive for this final game. I hate that he was inactive.
Yeah, that's
I thought they were going to use him in the running game. But anyway, finally, this is a tough one. Running back A.J. Dillon.
I mean, I don't think we are going to. I don't have an opinion about whether I personally want to. I love AJ.
Right.
I think he's great. I think he's great for Wisconsin. I think he's a great dude. I got all the utmost respect for him because I know him personally. But I don't think just objectively what the Green Bay Packers are going to do, I don't believe he will be back.
I think you're right. Lots of stuff going on this offseason. Obviously, the draft coming to Green Bay, which will be very exciting. Going to have tons of stuff going on here at Cheesehead TV around the draft. And speaking of Cheesehead TV, we have our newsletter, Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter, going out each and every week throughout the offseason. We've done twice a week during the season. Now we will switch and transition to once a week. The next one goes out tomorrow morning. You can sign up for the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. In the description of this video, there's a link for you to do so. Do it, folks. It's going to be a lot of fun. And before we head into Blogosphere, I want to give a shout-out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV, spend $5 on lineups, and get $50 instantly. And folks, yes, football season is coming to an end, but we will be doing Prize Picks all throughout the playoffs, including the college football championship on Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll have my lineups for this divisional round on Friday. Corey, anything else before we get ready for Blogosphere here?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, as you know, very disappointing result on Sunday. And a lot of hot takes out there, And I wanted to give someone, this content creator who I've never heard of before, but I found him on TikTok. And, hey, also, pour one out for TikTok, unless there's some kind of reprieve here in the last minute or so. But Joel Moran.
I feel like Trump will pardon it. I do feel like Trump
will
pardon it.
Probably.
There'll be some kind of pardon.
Joel Moran, I have no idea who this guy is. It's the first time I've ever seen him in any way, shape, or form. But I will say, I love this TikTok because he's actually somewhat like reasonable and has a decent kind of handle on perspective, which is so rare. So let's take a listen to Joel right here.
Was Jordan Love awful this season? He wasn't awful, but we expected a jump. We expected you to take that next step into being in that next tier of quarterbacks. Instead, Jordan Love finishes off this season as a question mark. If you believe in him, there are arguments you can make. But if you don't believe in him, there are also arguments you can make that he's not that guy. I love the fact that he doesn't take sacks. But the next step is being better at reading defenses, being better with his accuracy, being better with his decision making. And the Packers also have to help him out by adding some receiving talent. They have a bunch of good players, and we thought that maybe one of them would break out this year, but none of them broke out. You need a real dude. That's how we usually see quarterbacks take that next step. The Packers lost by 12 points. If their offense shows up, they could have won this game. But that's what the 2024 Packers are. Could have, would have, should have. Next step is getting that result on the field. This team is not far off.
Joel Moran, what is this perspective you're bringing to the?
I thought it was reasonable, here. Although I'm just gonna nit. If I had a nit to pick, as you know that I'm gonna do, I don't think you can look at Jordan Love objectively this season, and you can have questions, but I don't agree. Like, yes, he's got to improve his accuracy, but not by a lot. What he really needs to improve, to be honest with you, is a very simple thing. It's short passing game, touch passes. Yeah, if he just elevates on that one level, one thing in his game, we would have won two or three more games. So
I just think Joel does a great job of presenting everything, because you mentioned it. Yeah, no doubt. The accuracy is an issue in certain areas, whatever. But also, his receivers led the league in drops, you know? So catch the fucking ball. And he says that. They need to improve,
but I just,
get a little more talent there. Like,
somebody,
I'm there. I'm there with that.
Here's my problem with the wide receiver thing, though, right? Mm. The Green Bay Packers historically, and I'm talking about, dude, modern era historically, Super Bowl I we're talking about.
Right.
Now, take Don Hudson out of it, because we know number one wide receiver is better than anybody
in the world.
Whole entire league, right?
Yep.
But
yep.
I just disagree fundamentally that there's only one way to do offense. And
I agree with that. Like, that's a,
and
the
I feel like a lot of people come at this. That's what I'm saying. So he's needs a guy. I would say that the guy was Christian Watson for most of the season.
I very much agree.
And this is the problem, right, is that even in that clip, there's recency bias that I just don't buy, because the middle of the season is fat and there's a lot of things to look at and there's a lot of throws that maybe two quarterbacks in the NFL have ever made in their lives. That touchdown tip catch by Tucker Kraft in the end zone that I remember, there's a couple, there's like two or three others where they are Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers type throws that are just rare gems that you're never going to see fucking Sam Darnold throw, bro. You know what I mean? Like, ever in his life, he's never thrown that. So it's like, if you don't start your conversation like being there, like, you can have doubts about Jordan Love, but like, you're not really looking at all of the tape if you're talking like that, is my whole point.
I'll also give a shout out, Corey, because here's the thing. So we come off that game, right? And obviously there's a lot of frustration and Packers fans bitching into the ether that is the internet. And I understand it and I get it, like, no doubt. Which is kind of why I liked Joel's approach there. But man, then we get to Monday night. Then we get to the Vikings game. And oh my God, you talk about not only like kind of soothing the soul of Packers fans after the real kind of obvious depression from the loss on Sunday, but then you watch the Vikings completely fucking melt down in that game. So much great content came out of that. I mean, so much. My whole TikTok feed, everything I saw online essentially through like 24 hours after that game was just beautiful. And these guys, the Crispy Brothers, have been doing songs, doing like lots of parody stuff forever. Like, they've been doing this for
like
a couple years now.
Tailgate stuff too.
They do really good shit.
Right.
This is without question. This is just a small taste. This is so good. I laughed so hard when I saw this. This is excellent. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, you blew it. So quit blowing on that big dumb horn. It takes a bunch of losers from the day that they're born. I swear on all things holy, you'll never ever win that trophy.
What a sham, what a sham, what a sham. Minnesota's a sham.
Gotta say it again now.
What a sham, what a sham, what a sham. You just lost to the Rams.
They're a mighty, mighty good sham.
What a sham, what a sham, what a sham. Minnesota's a sham.
The Vikings are a sham.
What a sham, what a sham, what a sham. You just lost to the Rams.
We all seen it coming.
I mean, that is, like I said, just a taste. The whole thing is brilliant. Seek the Crispy Brothers out.
It's hilarious.
All their stuff is great. That, what I love about that is that so clearly, like, you could make that song, that idea, anytime, right? Like, Minnesota's a sham. Do it from that kind of Weird Al angle. I get it. But they did it, clearly, right after that game. And it was up that next morning.
They were ready for
because
that.
Because you lost to the Rams. Like, it's so good. So well done. Just excellent stuff. Speaking of Minnesota, speaking of the Vikings.
Oh, dear. Well, here. Before I want to set this up, okay?
You please
so,
do. Please do.
In the last Packer transplants, I said something. Okay, so Nagler's initial take. If I say something crazy, okay, and you can go back, you can send the AI on a trail of tears with this with this stat, right?
A trail of tears.
If I say something crazy, Nagler will automatically say I'm wrong. Okay? So I said Paul Allen was unprofessional. And I asked, and Nagler basically like, no. Because, look, to be fair to Aaron, okay, Nagler, he has gotten burned by my takes because he takes the bullet. So he's out front. So like when the bullets come, they hit him. He's like my Kevlar.
Yes.
You're the Kevlar, right?
I am.
And
the
so
Kevlar
when you're
best.
The Kevlar, yes. You're like, hey, I don't want to be the Kevlar, right? I just don't want. So really, it's not necessarily disagreeing with me. It's more, I don't want to be here right now.
I don't deal with
this.
This
is
shit.
Making
yes.
me uncomfortable.
Correct.
Okay. But deep down in his heart, he agrees with my take. So here's Tyler Herrick, the one and only Tyler Herrick, made this little highlight for me. I asked him to do it yesterday. So shout out to Tyler, our social media guru here at Cheesehead TV. And he made this little clip where these are reasons, my argument for why Paul Allen is unprofessional. Let's roll it.
Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line. You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
Looking at that play, he should have just held on to it, Paul. He should have. He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Put down Joseph. Come on. It is gone. No, he missed it.
Good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my heavens.
Oh, my.
He missed it right.
You know what? I'm going to take the high road on this Green Bay Packers coach looking at me saying, you better not talk into that microphone and give your team any credit. I'm going to take the high road on it and say I'm very impressed with the Green Bay Packers finding a way to win 8 games despite all those injuries, A-Rod's toe, COVID, lying and everything. So I'm not, going to say to that coach what I wanted to say, like, you can go ahead and put Eric Stokes and Justin Jefferson the rest of his career. And like he did in 2019 when he was with LSU and Stokes was with Georgia, he killed him. And he killed him again today, and he will kill him every single time they meet. So I'm going to end it right like that. I got to say, in my 20 years of calling Vikings games, that's about the first time I've ever had a coach say something like that to me. So best of luck to you guys the rest of the way. And quite honestly, I hope you lose every single freaking game the rest of the year.
Well, speaking of...
Hi. Hot takes in the hot tub, eczema be damned. And I'm your announcer, Paul Allen. Hot takes in the hot tub, why not? The light of choice, the light du jour, is a shade of green. Because green is the color of money. And your Minnesota Vikings got the money 2 times against the border rivals, sweeping the team for the first time since 2017. As the kids would say, ayy.
Justin in motion to the right. Two receivers left. Rams blitz. Darnold gets away from it. Steps up in the pocket. He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Just run.
At the 25-yard line, he's sacked for a 5th time.
I mean,
just throw it, man. Here,
that could
Corey,
be
wait,
our
wait,
announcer.
Wait, hold up. That could, hold up.
That I'm so happy he's not our announcer.
Exactly. But that's the thing. Happy. It's like, I get like how the national media like gloms onto that and is like, oh, he's so passionate. And it's like, he is. I get it. He's a hometown caller and I get it. But could you imagine Wayne doing any of that?
Nope.
That's why when you sent the clip over and I was like, you know what? That was my first thought. I was like, okay, but he's like the homer and that's his job. But it's like, yeah, you're right. You know, Wayne would never do that because Wayne is
well,
a
that's the other thing.
Professional.
But that's what I mean, and that's why I said the word professional. I actually chose the right word there because...
You did. You did.
It is... Those are unprofessional for his job. Now, yes, he's the homer. Yes, he's entertaining. I think he's a very entertaining right. person, by the way. And yes. But, like, can you see Wayne Larrabee? Can you see a Vikings coach
Never.
Coming up to Wayne
no.
Larrabee and Wayne no. saying anything about that moment that transpired?
No, of course not. Of course not.
No. Because that's not your job. And that's right. what professional means. What is your job and what are you doing? And also, like, he's the most cringe person, dude. Like, he is the perfect person. Like, I think why you kind of because you're right. Like, he is the perfect person for the Minnesota Vikings. And by the way, somebody can check me on this, and I'm not pulling it out of my ass because I wrote it down and I got it off the internet. So I
totally
do want to.
Pulling it out of your
so it's totally really true, by the way. It's totally true.
it's
I do want to give.
I
this is for Packers fans, but right. it's also for this is for Packers fans to put some perspective on the Vikings.
Sure.
You know, we're 66-60-3, and I'm not gonna. That's you know, we're at least even if
we're
the Vikings blew us out,
we're at least six ahead,
3 years away from tying them. Right. That's not gonna happen, right? But I'm saying like the worst case scenario.
We're ahead right now.
But
we're ahead.
We're ahead. We're ahead right now, but but if they beat us six times in a row, which is not statistically
not gonna happen. But yes.
Yeah. So here's a crazy stat and I do I did knock over it. Oh no. Carry the G's are going everywhere.
Oh my god.
Oh dear. So I do wanna say I don't know if this is 100% true, but I got it off the internet. And this is kudos to Vikings fans this year because they got a monkey off their back. But I don't think Packers fans realize how bad that monkey was. The Minnesota Vikings are now at home against the Green Bay Packers all time, 32-31. So,
holy shit.
Good job, Minnesota Vikings. You finally did it. You finally... You finally have one more win than loss against the Green Bay Packers at your own bird-killing stadium. Good for you. Good for you.
See, what's funny is you asked me to check that, like, what, 2 minutes before we went live, and I'm, like, furiously researching because you kept saying bird-killer stadium. I just kept looking at U.S. Bank Stadium. I didn't realize you were talking like all time.
At home.
So
I just like when I talk about their stadium, I like saying
Bird Killer Stadium.
And we need all the birds. We do need all the birds we can get
the
in this world.
Birds are important,
so.
Man. Why do they hate
birds? I do
birds
think they should
there,
dismantle their stadium just for the birds.
Of course they should, but they never will. They spent $1 billion+. You know, that's not going to happen. You knocked over some Carry the G. Speaking of Carry the G, I want to give a shout out to everyone who purchased a can, multiple cans, I mean, cases of Carry the G this year, all the way down to Chicago, all throughout the state of Wisconsin. Thank you to everyone who came out to our tasting at Ridgeview Liquor back in, I believe it was late November, the week of Thanksgiving. We have a nice little clip here about that event and as a thank you for just trying some Carry the G. Let's take a look. I love that shot of Ian. Like, he's got his
taking a
Carry the G for like the next 24 hours. I love it. So good. so good. Thank you, seriously, to everyone. Carry the G is still on shelves across Wisconsin for the time being. No more is being made. So if you see it, get it, stock it up for your off season. We may or may not be doing a little bit more later this spring for the draft, but in the time for the time being, what you see is what you get. So if you see some, get some. And we really appreciate each and every one of you who has bought Carry the G, put it on social, participated in pregame when we do the Carry the G bit for watch parties. You guys are amazing. I mean, when Corey and I first started talking about doing a beer, or just an alcoholic beverage in general at first, but that became, well, we're going to do a beer, I never in a million years thought it would become what it's already become and seems to be continuing to grow each and every season that we do it. So thank you, everybody, sincerely, because that has been a shocking surprise to me anyway. I don't know. Corey probably thought it was going to happen all along, but to me, it's been amazing.
I think it's cool. I think it's really cool.
It's amazing.
And yeah, I'm excited about the future of Carry the G. It me 420. I love how the Vikings are the first team in NFL history to win 14 games and lose in the wild card round. LOL.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's a beautiful thing, is what it is.
It is. JP, I'll buy all the Jordan Love stock anyone's selling.
There you go, JP. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
NA Productions. Let's see Paul Allen's call. Patrick Bateman. Well, we gave it to you.
Nice. Yeah. Well, you just did. Well done.
Mac T, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it, Mac T. Thank you. Joe Mailman, what could do more for the Packer-Bear rivalry? The Bears hire Mike McCarthy or Pete Carroll for head coach?
I'm praying they hire McCarthy. I don't think they're going to. I think McCarthy ends up with the Saints, actually. But that would be amazing. Just from an entertainment standpoint, it'd just be so much fun.
If they hire Mike McCarthy, I'm ready for when the moment that Caleb Williams stops listening to him in year three.
Right. Year three or four. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
I like it. That's the trajectory, right?
Yeah. That's where happening. It's going.
No doubt.
Johnny Rivers, are you considering doing a limited run Carry the G draft? It could be a cool collector's item stream of revenue. Thanks for the year, boys. Do you mean a
thank
drop?
You, Johnny.
He's what we do it on draft right now.
Yep.
But do you mean like a cup or a mug or something? We have it on draft in Milwaukee. A lot of places in Milwaukee, and there's some places in Green Bay. We try to denote where it's on draft in our Carry the G locator map, but it's hard to tell. So.
But we might be doing something around the draft. Stay tuned.
Yeah. The Green Yeti. I would love to see Tom Clemens, Pepper, and Red go into the Packers Hall of Fame at some time as a trio. Legendary behind-the-scenes long-timers.
Phenomenal idea. That's a great idea. In fact, that's so good, I'm going to pitch it to the Packers. That's excellent.
Mike Witt, who knows? Maybe with the draft in Green Bay this year will be the year Goody trades up in the draft. LOL, sorry. Forgot who I'm talking about. We'll probably trade out of first round for an extra fifth. LOL.
No chance. Sure. If the Packers trade out of 23, man, the riots will be uncontained.
I mean, I could see. Here's the thing. The thing about Goody is, and right. I will give this to him, is he's not as predictable as Ted. He does unpredictable things.
I very much agree. Yes.
He will do an unpredictable thing if he feels like that's the thing he needs to do.
He breaks the profile every once in a while, and he certainly has this year. Like, this year has certainly, shown that several times.
But the other thing is we are in year three, and if he feels like, you know, reaching five more picks or 10 more picks, you know, he's not going to try to get number one because we don't need number one.
No,
but
that's
like
not gonna happen.
Trying to get a number seven or a number eight.
To make a shockingly big move up the draft board. I mean, imagine it. Imagine the drama. You're there Thursday night in Green Bay and the Packers jump up from 23 to even 15, right? Man, that place would go apeshit.
I mean, even 18.
So incredible.
Shit.
Yeah, 20. No, I mean,
if they,
any
if
jump
they
up
jump
would be
up to
absolutely
22,
incredible.
We'll be like, what? What
we'll
is going
lose our
on?
Minds. Exactly. Exactly.
It'll be the greatest draft in Green
oh
Bay
my
history.
God. It'd be amazing.
Dakota
no pressure
Dino.
On that kid,
hey guys.
Though. No pressure on the kid, whoever they draft. Yeah, no pressure.
I mean, what a crazy thing to think when you if you get picked in the city that had the draft, that's insanity.
Be tough, man.
Dakota Dino, hey guys. Negs, I hope you got the email I sent. A lot of ball game left in this off season. Enjoy everything you guys do. Have a drink on me. Go Pack Go. Thank you for the
gotta be honest, chat. Haven't looked at my email today, but I'll take a look. Thank you, brother. Appreciate
Mimsy.
You.
Loves accuracy with shaky. Hope healing up helps. Thanks for super chat.
I think healing will help immensely. I think, you know, some help from the coordinator and the wide receivers running the right depth. And also the wide receivers catching the ball. All these things will help. But certainly, I think the knee getting right is the biggest component here.
Joe Mailman, what does the term stack him mean?
Oh, good question. As far as, like, if you look at the replay, if you go back, I mean, if you're a masochist, if you want to go back and look at the replay of Wicks on Slay, you'll see, I can't do a really good job of here, but, like, Wicks is to the right, and Slay is just off his hip, right? You're talking about stacking. You want to get in front of the defensive player. Cut him off, essentially. Where you saw how Slay essentially uses Wick's arm to kind of slingshot himself into position to make the interception. Cut him off. Don't give him that opportunity. That's stacking is just essentially just like he does a good job on the out and up. He's got a step on him, no question about it, but they're still somewhat side by side, hip like Slay's on his hip, essentially. Just get in front of him. Cut him off. That's what stacking is.
Mimsy, it's important to remember the Vikings have half their active team headed for free agency, have only three draft picks. Even their window is fraudulent.
Excellent.
Amy Gooding, joined late, so my apologies if someone's already inquired, but where is your hat from, Corey? I know the chat answered your question, Amy. Just wanted to make sure I said that, but I did get this at the Pro Shop, which you can find right there.
Right over there. Excellent.
But yeah, you know where it is. I know I'm just being facetious. Mike Witt, thanks for super chat. Wish I could have heard Paul Allen's play-by-play of the Vikings game Monday. I bet he's losing his mind. LOL. So the clip we played you was the most he got of
was
losing his
the
mind.
The most heated he got. I will say, don't ever forget, if you are a football diehard in general, not just to have Vikings schadenfreude, NFL Plus is amazing for that very reason because you can, and Billy did this. I talked to Billy on Carry the G Radio on Tuesday. Like, you can get live calls from all of the radio, like the official radio partners. So you can get Wayne and Larry. You can get the Viking, Paul Allen. You can get everybody live. It's amazing. It's very, very cool.
Mike Witt, with Musgrave back and the receivers banged up, I was a little surprised Matt didn't drop more two tight end sets versus Fangio's defense.
Yeah, I mean... The problem is, of course, with whenever you put Musgrave out there, he's not a blocker. And you saw how much they struggled against that front. He just been blown up. Like, he's got to improve in that area in a big way for them to really seriously utilize two tight end sets on the regular.
Mike Witt, who would make a better GM, Nags, Banky, or Herrick? As for contracts and extensions, do you guys think they extend Quay or Wyatt? Just curious.
A lot of questions there. Oh, I'd clearly be the best general manager because the other two, you know, whether it's Banky or Herrick, they're just emotional fans, and they could never divorce themselves from their feelings about the team. As far as
of the three of us, I'm the only entrepreneur of the group. So
this is true. This is true.
There is that.
Extend Quay or Wyatt? I got to be honest. I'd be surprised. I don't think they're going to pick up either of their fifth year options. And I think they'll let them play out that final year of their rookie deal before making those decisions, be my guess.
Yeah, it makes sense. Steve Anthony. Cheers, gents. Steve-O here. Thanks again for the extended happy hour last night. You guys are the best. Let's go, Bills. I agree.
Thanks, Steve-O.
I
Thanks
agree.
For
Bills
out,
are
man.
The team. Bills are the team.
I agree.
For a lot of the reasons.
Very much agreed. Absolutely.
Mike Witt, we all know you guys and I have fun about the Eeyore stuff, but I love your guys' content and have since Nags destroyed Packerman during a watch party years ago, yelling, "Coach, team, you have good times." Thanks, Mike Witt.
That was a Vikings game.
Appreciate it.
Yes, when Mike McCarthy tried to run up the middle on 4th-and-1. Good stuff. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you, brother.
Ed, next season, no slow starts. Pray emoji. Good luck with that.
Your lips, your super chat to the football god's ears. Please make that happen.
Mimsy, hurts that Paul Allen was right about Stokes. Pain.
I mean,
yeah, but wrong. You know what? Justin Jefferson was shut down in that game. So,
oh, that was one of the
wrong
other
about Justin Jefferson.
No, but one of the other parts I wanted to—I should have put that in. Blogosphere. Jeff Janis, absolute legend, putting up his stats in the playoffs versus Justin Jefferson's.
That was funny.
God.
And he was like,
I've never
literally,
been a major
he was literally
Jeff
like
fan,
fourth
but
on the depth chart,
oh
too, or
my
fifth on the
God.
Depth chart.
Yes. But, oh, that's hilarious. That was hilarious.
Even at the time. New York Cheesehead, thanks, guys, for a great season. You guys are the best. Go, Pack, go. Thank you, New York Cheesehead.
Thank
appreciate
you, brother.
That.
Appreciate you.
Porkmaster, I heard Max Crosby got a voicemail from God. Okay. What did it say?
I.e., Mike Holmgren and or Matt LaFleur. Sounds good to me.
Or Mark Murphy. Mimsy, yeah. Picking at 23 is the Goldilocks of pregame time.
There's a lot going on. I'm not quite sure
really
I can
is.
Work that one out, but why not? Sure. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Let's go with yes.
Maximilian Chrisman. Jets interview Halfley for head coach. Come on, man. Wait, they really did? No.
I don't know. I know they've interviewed a ton of people, but I haven't seen that reported. But unless it's like literally come out while we're live on the air, which is possible. But
I don't like that.
He's not going over there.
I don't like that one bit. Vin V, Kay Adams is doing God's work for the Pack. 17 probably won't be back, but what a fun way to kick off our offseason. Thanks for everything, Cheesehead TV. Go, Pack, go. Thank you, Vin V. Appreciate
Vin,
it. Thanks, everybody, for
say,
the Super Chat.
Shout out to Kay Adams. Kay Adams is also always joking about the Oval Office. Like, that's how you know she's legit, like, come to Green Bay and hung out. Shout out, Kay. And she's doing, you are right, she's doing God's work with Devontae Adams.
And Della just let me know. Oh, I can't get to the Carry the G ones. Hold on. I forgot about the Carry the member
chats. Got some
chats.
Carry the folks so up in here?
Right now. Sorry, I should have reminded. Thank you for reminding me, Della. So I'm going to those real quick.
Yeah, we got Eric up in here. We got a few others.
One second.
Look at these fine folks. Thank you, everybody, with Carry the G members. We got Kevin right at the top. Hard to win the Super Bowl when your team president is the mad TV kid. Paul Allen is an albino chump.
Is he an albino? He
Kevin,
seems like
you're
one.
Amazing. That's an amazing. Thank you for being Carry the G Club member.
Appreciate that. Eric, thanks for being a Carry the G Club member. Jeff Halfley getting interviewed for the Jets per Albert Breer. So that
oh, there you
Eric's
go.
Been a member for 20 months, so I believe what he says intrinsically.
There you go, buddy.
Wow.
Halfley
I don't like
ain't
this
going
bit.
Anywhere.
Nagler.
They're just
Nagler,
casting
like
a wide net.
Nagler, I don't like it. I don't like
it's
it.
It's not going to happen.
It's making
ain't
going to
happen. Ain't going to happen.
Okay.
Although, how hilarious would that be?
I don't like it.
It's not going to happen. Don't you
I really don't like
don't
it.
Don't you fret, Banky. Like he's not going anywhere.
I don't like it.
You know they're going to hire Rex Ryan. It'll all be well. Don't you worry.
Like hire Bill Belichick. Like you know what I mean. Like just.
Well, they should have. Bill apparently literally reached out before he took the Carolina job.
How do you not hire Bill Belichick?
I know. Like you're the Jets. Whatever.
Whatever.
Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. Thank you guys. You've heard a lot about the happy hour today. Each and every week, not just during the season, we have happy hour each and every week throughout the off season. Everyone who supports the brand, this is probably the most robust way you can do it. You get not only access to the happy hour, you get discounts on our merch.
Discounts.
You guys are the absolute
you get
lifeblood
also,
of everything we
you get
do.
Free draft, the free draft
the
guide.
Draft guide. You,
and we're
going to
be selling
good.
The draft guide on Patreon this year, so get a
yes,
get a leg
will.
Up on that.
100% yep. All on Patreon. Really appreciate the support, as well as everyone here on YouTube. Carry the G Club members, you guys make all the watch parties amazing. Clearly, you guys support everything we do on the YouTube channel. We really, really appreciate it. Corey, you got anything else before we head out into the off season? Of which, you know, I'm sure you'll be back at some point, but for the
time
being, this is the last time
we're going to do
be chatting with these folks for a while.
we're going to do what we did last offseason. We're going to do our draft. We're going to do Packer Transplants draft reviews. And we're going to get ready for the draft, and it's going to be fun. It's here in Green Bay, so there's going to be a lot of exciting content from Cheesehead TV between now and April 26th. Actually, the 25th.
Cannot wait.
The 25th, Green Bay has just announced they're doing a huge opening NFL draft blowout celebration in the harbor with musical guests and everything. So lots of stuff awesome. Upcoming, you guys. It's actually going to be a crazy time for Green Bay, so stay with Cheesehead TV as you do.
Awesome. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.